today on Real Radio.
Whoever the I Am is, whoever the Alpha and the Omega, whoever is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, whoever he is, he's singular. He appears in the Old Testament and he appears in the New Testament. And whoever the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last is, died and came back to life. What are you going to do with that? You ought to bow your knee to that. God's sovereign.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called He Who, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry regarding Israel can be divided into two very specific revelations from God. From Isaiah chapter 39 through the end of the book, the theme changes. This second half now reveals to us the wonderful blessings and fulfillments of God's promises to the Jews and to the land of Israel during what's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. In our previous episode taken from part 1 of Isaiah chapter 41, we learned that God is sovereign. He is not moved by any nations or rulers or any plans made by earthly governments. God's nature never changes. He is the one who knows the future and who keeps his promises he made to Israel and to us. He alone is the one we need to put our trust in. So today on day 3 of Isaiah chapter 41, Pastor Jack tells us that God is not intimidated by man-made idols. They're designed to deceive people. Statues of marble and wood cannot love you or save you. But God alone is the one who is faithful in that he loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have eternal life. And now continuing his lesson called He Who, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He who is sovereign to the point, to such a degree that God, as it were, thunders from heaven. And he says, who's been able to do such things as this? He shouts to the nations. He shouts to us. I speak about things before they happen. Friends, family, listen. Find a religious system, find a faith in the earth today, find a group that adheres to some other faith other than Judeo-Christianity, the Bible, and ask them to have their God do what the God of the Bible does. They can't do it. There's not a one. Why would someone follow a false god when God says, I'm the one? And look what he says of himself. He says, I am the Lord. By the way, see the capital L-O-R-D? That's Yahweh. That's that name. I am the first, and I am with the last. I am he. In John 14, verse 1, we need to take comfort in this. Remember, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is the I am. Jesus is the fleshly manifestation. Jesus is the incarnate Yahweh. And Jesus echoes the same thing that is spoken by God in the Old Testament. Don't panic. I am the first and the last. I preside over this. And so when we look at verse 4 and the magnitude of what is being said, I'm just going to ask you to write down a few verses. I could actually give you 73 verses on this. I'm going to spare you and give you just a couple. Isaiah 48:12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. By the way, that's singular. I am he, singular. I am the first. That means all things originate in me. What a statement. Meaning nothing has ever been before me. Whatever is, I made. And look, he says, I am also the last. What does that mean? Whatever is began with me, and whatever comes to an end by me. You hear God flexing? This is the God who says, I love you. This is the God who says, I'll forgive you. This is the God who says that I'll send my son to the cross to die there for you. This is the God who says my son will be resurrected from the dead for you. Need we worry and panic any longer about anything? See, we worry and panic because we forget who he is. I'm the first and the last, he says. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Isaiah 44, verse 6 says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me," it's all singular, "there is no God." It's all singular. As a Christian, we believe in one God. No problem. God reveals himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not three gods. One God. Manifest in three personalities, in three persons. Holy, distinct, eternal. All the attributes of God through Scripture, applying to all three throughout Scripture. Never contradicting each other. God says, I'm the only one. I'm the one. Revelation 1, verse 10. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit, says John, on the Lord's day, out into the future, and I heard behind me a loud voice of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the Greek verbiage of it. The first and the last. Wow. That's awesome. So whoever's the first and the last appears in the Old and New Testament. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. All singular, Old and New Testament. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I, that is John, saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. By the way, let me pause right there. Keep your finger there. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm skeptical about these things, but it's because I lacked faith, I guess. But supposedly all around the world, Muslims are converting to Christianity because they're seeing Jesus manifesting physically in the atmosphere in front of them, speaking to them. Now look, Jesus can do anything he wants. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. We talked about it on Sunday, how God walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. I hope that's happening. But we know this, according to Scripture, that if Jesus is salvation himself, then you can't have two first and last. You can't have two beginnings and endings. You can't have he who is singular multiple. Because we're not polytheists. Are you with me? Be thinking right now. If John said, I saw him, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead guy. I passed out, freaked out. But he laid his right hand on me saying, do not be afraid. What does he say? I am the first and I'm the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Man, are you awake? Say amen or something, will you? Holy cow. That's awesome. Look, step back from the Bible if you have to. Take a walk. Breathe. Slow down. Breathe in. Breathe out. Whoever the I am is, whoever the Alpha and the Omega, whoever is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, whoever he is, he's singular. He appears in the Old Testament and he appears in the New Testament. And whoever the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last is, died and came back to life. What are you going to do with that? You ought to bow your knee to that. God's sovereign. God is all powerful. God is all love. God is all salvation. Absolutely awesome. The second thing we see here is in verses 5-7. We're doing good now. He who mocks, listen, he is the one in his sovereignty. He mocks the deities of man. God is not intimidated by the deities of man. Look at verse 5. The coastland saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. And he who soothes with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil. So all these crafts got together for one reason. And it is made ready for soldering. Oh, great, we got our parts. You made your part, he made his part, I made my part. Now let's get somebody to weld it together. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. You know what he's talking about? The indictment in God's greatness, he's indicting the nations of the world, the pagan nations. You guys have assembled false gods. You've made them up and you put them together with human hands. And how pathetic it is that you put your pieces of your God together and then you got to weld them to a pedestal and then you bow down and worship it. Listen, in our culture, in our town, there are people, listen, we need to love them, we need to reach them, but they have images in their businesses, they have icons, they have statues that have been put together by a craftsman, and they have candles burning and incense burning and fruit that they offer to that God. Do you know this? Have you been around town with your eyes open? We don't have to go to some part of the world. The world has come here. Open your eyes next time. The next time you see that person, that person, and there's this idol, it's going to be gold in color. Instead of going, oh no, don't do that. That thing's nothing. Do you understand? It's nothing. Some guy down the street manufactured it. They got it on eBay or it was Amazon to the house. Do you understand that? It couldn't even get to the house on their own. It had to be driven there in a FedEx truck. And the people would worship it. Oh, this is a god. Seriously, really? It's not real. The only God that's real is the God that says, I speak about the future in advance and I write it down. Why don't you know history? And then you figure out that I'm the guy. I'm the one. There's nobody like me. And I'm so committed to the salvation of the souls of men that I'm eternal and I'll even allow myself to die and be resurrected. That's how much I will pay the price for the lost world. He's absolutely amazing. God is absolutely awesome. But he mocks the deities of man. On and on it goes. I mean, we don't have the time, but God mocks the deities of man because the deities of man mislead people. And I personally believe that satanic powers traffic around those kind of idols and icons to deceive people. The next thing we see is, picking it up in verse 8, is the God of the Bible is the one who is faithful to himself. He has to be faithful to himself. He can't lie. He cannot fool himself. He cannot do or not do what he said he's going to do. He has to do what he said he'll do because he agrees with himself. Verse 8 says, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the descendants of Abraham. Look at that. My friend. God says, Abraham's my friend. Do you like that? How'd you like to be Abraham? Get that kind of title. God's looking across the crowd. There's Joe and Mary and Freddie and Jack. There's Abraham, my friend. You say, yeah, I want that. I want that. How many of you are Christians tonight? Raise your hands. Are you Christian tonight? Listen, according to Jesus, you got that. Jesus says, I no longer call you guys servants. From here on out, I call you guys friends. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jesus? Peter. Yes. You're my friend. Can you imagine? Sweet Peter. I mean, he's great, but man, is he a mess. Right? Just leave it up to Peter to make a mistake. And Jesus says, you're my friend. And he said it to Andrew. He said it to them all. If you're a Christian tonight, Jesus says it. According to John chapter 14, 16, 14, 15, 17, Jesus says, I call you friend. Isn't that awesome? You say, well, how does he do that? Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've come to him and you're a follower of Christ, that is, you've asked him to forgive you. Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Jesus, I've sinned against God. I need salvation. I need someone to pay my price. I need someone to get me out of this jail of sin. I need a new life. Jesus said, I provide that. That's what I do. And when you come to Christ, all of a sudden, in an eternal legal transaction between God the Father and God the Son, your name appears, and you're, according to the Bible, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know that? And all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life Jesus calls them friends. And that's awesome. God doesn't look at you with the friendship of this world and say, you know, I've been trying to get together with you for weeks, you know, you haven't talked to me, or he doesn't say, well, you haven't been very nice to me, I'm not gonna hang out with you. He doesn't do that. He's just so constant. You know, he doesn't love and he doesn't like. He doesn't care like we do. He's like this. Okay? And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the great I am says to you, you're my friend. On what basis, my son? The Bible tells us that God positions us who trust Jesus as Savior. The scripture says that we are sons and daughters, sons. This is true theology. It's just, I hesitate because it's hard, because we justifiably see ourselves so unworthy of this. But God looks at you, and according to pure biblical theology, God looks at you in Christ and loves you and cares for you and sees the righteousness of his son exactly the same as he relates to his son. That's pure theology. Do you not feel unworthy of that? Look, I'm the one telling you that this evening from the Bible. And I say it and then I want to turn my face in shame. Because who am I? Who am I to be called out of the crowd by him? I'm nothing. God saves nothings. You see, Jack, that's so sweet, but I'm such a gigantic loser. God would never want me. Look, there's losers in here. And then there's gigantic losers in here. Let me tell you a little trick. Everyone in here thinks everyone else is a loser. Listen, I'm talking a biblical loser, not just a loser. I'm talking a Bible loser. We're all Bible losers. But each of us think of ourselves as the gigantic loser, in all honesty. Did you hear that? If you are a gigantic loser, each of us privately would say, that's me. Jesus said, to the person who is forgiven much, that person loves much. So all of a sudden, the gigantic loser becomes the gigantic lover of God. You just got to take your stuff and give it to him and say, Lord, this is all the trash of my life. It's gigantic. And Jesus says, that's all right. My blood is gigantic still. My blood's bigger. My blood's more powerful. This is the I am of the Bible. This is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he's good. He's awesome. And I want to encourage all of us tonight. Us pastors got together just before the service started. We were praying and we were talking. And none of us have seen life as it's going now. Everyone's got troubles, big ones. What's weird is I see non-Christians, they've got some troubles, but I see a lot of non-Christians, they're doing great. But I look at Christians and I see the Christians are being stretched. And look, it doesn't have to be just physical health things. No way. There's people going through deep spiritual battles. Great Christians that are just having horrendous, never before experienced doubts and fears. And things that they thought that they had victory over 30 years ago or 100 years ago. Well, not 100 years, but, but you know, it's like way over. That it's like, wait, what? Listen, God's sovereign, cheer up. It's going to be okay. We're all going through stuff. Listen, number one, those of us who are going through stuff, it's a mark that we belong to him. And you hear, but I want to belong to him too. Well, okay, come with us. We'll show you how. Come to Christ. Your life will be miserable at times. Hey, but he's sovereign. He's awesome. Trust Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great truth, God. We confess to you tonight, Lord, as individuals, privately to you now. We fret, we worry, we get really bummed because we think things ought to be a certain way. We think people ought to be a certain way toward us or around us or for us. And Lord, all of this stuff, it's just you stripping things away. You're just cleaning house, as it were, in each of our lives. And some, you're rearranging furniture, and some, you're tailoring their clothes. To some, you're cleansing, as it were, their spiritual diets. To some, it's just time that their life be used in a crucible that others might watch them go through something and give God praise. Whatever it is, Jesus, in our lives, we tonight surrender fully to you. We are weak. We embrace that. We revel in our frailty. Forgive us, Lord, for forgetting that, especially in our youth, especially in the times of success. We can sure get messed up when success is at our door. Lord, seize our minds and cleanse us from false things, from idols. That we would leave this place tonight buoyant in faith because you go before us. There are no accidents in our lives because you're sovereign. You have a plan for us in everything. And may we, with a renewed eye, in a devoted step, no longer flinch at the hardships of this life. We embrace them, Jesus, because you promised us that in this world we would have tribulations, but be of good cheer because you've overcome the world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called He Who, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our hope is that you've put your faith in Jesus Christ because He alone is trustworthy. He Who, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we journey through this book of Isaiah, the prophecies he gave to Isaiah will give us a clear insight into the heart of God. Isaiah knew how much God loved him and also how much he loved Israel. He trusted God and he trusted the visions of the future that God was giving him. And you know, God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. Only his love can save us from the sin that separates us from him. So, if you've recently made a decision for salvation through Jesus Christ, or maybe you're ready to open up your heart towards Him right now, but you've still got a few questions, well, we'd like to help. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll see a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll not only find Bible scriptures to support your decision for Christ, but a special video invitation from Pastor Jack about what your commitment really means for your life. There's also a place for you to give us your email address and ask further questions if you'd like. It's all right there when you click that tab called Know God at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.